This is Pastor Jim Corson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crishon on Sunday, September 27, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together.
Welcome to worship this morning, and God bless you. Will the Lord be with you? Let us pray. Oh God, may your truth touch our hearts and minds. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. Unite us in Christ, that we may be an example of his love. Help us to spread the hope, the peace, and the joy that we find in Jesus to those around us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. As we come and prepare ourselves to go before the Lord in prayer, I'd like for us to, in earnest, pray for one another, to pray as Paul directed us without ceasing, to take a moment and look around and notice the people with whom you are worshiping today, but also to remember people are watching and will watch us as we worship together. We're going to ask you who watch us online, watch us now, watch us later, to please join us in praying one for another. To pray for healing in our nation, the great divide that is anger more than anything else. Frustration more than anything else. Let us pray for peace, grace, and mercy. A turning to God, and in some situations back to God. To lay down the agendas of the world. To lay down violence, hatred, and anger. Grasp grace and love. No one is perfect. Let us pray for grace. For the fires that rage all around us, communities uprooted, homes destroyed, for victims in flood areas from hurricanes, prayers as they seek to recover. Let us pray also for the schemes of Satan to be revealed, and that people would have eyes to see. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, let us humble ourselves before you. Let us truly, in all sincerity, repent of our sins. And Father, as we seek and receive your forgiveness, Father, help us to forgive others. Help us to love. Help us to care. And Father, remind us to pray for one another. Father, maybe we don't know every name, but may we remember the face we saw as we bring them before you. And Father, as you hear our prayers lifted to you, we know that you hear more than just our words. You hear our hearts. You look past the facades. You look past the clothing. You look into our very soul. You see the burdens we carry. The rebelliousness sometimes of our hearts. But you forgive us and love us. Even though we aren't perfect, if we love you, you love us. And Father, we would pray that those who do not know you, who do not love you, who have not turned to you, who have not accepted Jesus Christ, that they would be convicted of this, that they would be uncomfortable in this, and that they would turn to you in the name of Jesus. Father, for the needs we've lifted aloud, silently in our hearts, written in our bulletins, those that may be through social media and multimedia, whatever the need may be, wherever it may be, Father, hear our hearts and prayers. As we do pray for our nation and the nations around the world, Father, the ravages of disasters are all around us, violence in every corner, suspicion and dread, uncertainty, a pandemic among us. Father, it seems that we have gone from one to another, to another, to another. Father, let us pray for peace. Let us pray for grace. Let us pray for a true turning to you or back to you, that we would love as you have called us to love. Heal our hearts, heal our lives, heal our homes, heal our communities, heal our nation, heal us all through and by your love and grace. And Father, may you hear us now, as we pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God for the people of God.
It's in two parts. The first part is the interaction between Jesus and the scribes, Pharisees in the temple. And the second part is his interaction sort of to the crowd, to the group that he was teaching, but also to zing them too. So the second part is the parable. The first part is that interaction. And I want to set the stage for you a little bit so that you kind of get an idea of what this room would have looked like. Remember, a parable is a story that is told to prove a point. It may or may not be true. It may or may not be based on real events, people, places, or things, but it will be in the context to prove points, to illustrate points, or to make points. Now, this story is one about the interaction of Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees as he's in the temple teaching on the Sabbath. The habit of the Jews and the tradition of the Jews was to be in church on their Sabbath day, as is ours to be in church on the Sabbath day. How many of us believe that Jesus taught us by not only words, but by deed? How many of us believe that maybe some of the more powerful teachings of Jesus were by what he did more so than what he said? I think the cross was pretty powerful thing he did. I think it's very illustrative of not just talking about it. But the other thing is, Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus was always in the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was his habit to go to church. It was his habit to go on the Sabbath day, as should be ours today. Did you know that even in Rock Springs, Wyoming, that if everybody that professed to be a Christian today showed up for church, we wouldn't have room for them to sit? So look around, there's room. Even pre-COVID, there's room. So what does that tell you about people not really living it out? Everything comes before the importance of the example Jesus set. Now, let's go to the temple. Jesus is at the temple and he's teaching. He's sitting on an elevated stool, a stone, and they are sitting around him. This is where we get the phrase, sitting at the teacher's feet. He would have been sitting. They would have been gathered, and he's teaching. Got it? They're interested. I would think Jesus would have been pretty interesting to listen to. I think he would have been like one of those professors we might have had in college or high school or wherever that knew their stuff and was energetic about their stuff and made you interested. You know, that's the teachers, right? They suck you right in and you're just, you can't wait for that. Anyway, that's Jesus. He's teaching. And all of a sudden, these rude scribes and Pharisees show up and they begin to quiz him. They show up in their religious garb with their staffs in their hands, their little boxes on their foreheads, their little jewels and all their stuff, so they could be known that they were there, they had authority, and they question him, by what authority do you do this? Pretty rude, right? He's teaching. He's done this before. Why now? We're pretty far along in Matthew, so we can kind of figure out it's getting down to the end of things, right? They're really getting upset at it. So he's there and he's teaching. And they said, under what authority do you do this? And he's pretty cool, you know, that Jesus guy. He's really kind of cool. He says, well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask you a question. If you'll answer it, I'll answer yours. Well, those puffy, prideful Pharisees and scribes figured among us, we could answer any question he asked. They just wasn't ready for the question he did ask. And Jesus said, was the baptism of John from heaven or man? And the scripture says, and they began to argue among themselves. Can you just imagine? Well, we've got this political problem here. We're in a trap because we condemned him. We said it wasn't right. We didn't believe it. We told people not to believe it. So now if we say it's from God, we're fools. We're idiots. We're wrong. We can't answer it that way. We lose our authority. We lose our standing. You know, we just can't do that. Well, what are we going to say about what if it was from man? Oh, wait a minute. You need to understand, people believed him. People come out. He was baptized down by the, you know, he was just getting on with it down there. People everywhere. So if we'll lose popularity with the people. So we're darned if we do, darned if we don't. Rock and hard place thing. If we say he's from God, then we are made idiots out of ourselves. And if we say that it was from man, we've made idiots out of ourselves. We were pinned. He's got us. And they had to eat crow and say, we don't know. I would have loved to have been there. I mean, would you have not liked to have been the fly on the wall? But he's not done. He's not done at all. They haven't learned their lesson yet. They think they got by with it. Jesus sitting in front of his people, he's going to go back to teaching, right? He's shut that crowd up. They're on their way. And Jesus sitting there and he says in verse 28, well, what do you think? What do you think? Aren't you supposed to pause after a question? Aren't you supposed to wait on an answer? Nobody said anything. There was no answer. So Jesus launches into the parable we have before us today. And in this parable, there's going to be two sons. There's going to be a vineyard owner, the dad, and these two sons are going to be asked to go do the work of their father. God, you're getting the picture now. You got scribes and Pharisees who had a choice. Either it was from God or from man. From God or from man. And now you got two sons who have a choice to listen to the Father or not. So now Jesus is going to tell this parable. The scribes and Pharisees are still hanging out. All the people are still there. I would have thought, I would have just went on out after I had to say, I don't know. I said, we'll get him someplace else. You know, this is enough. But no, they stayed evidently. So now it says, verse 1, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first one and said, son, go. Go and work in my vineyard. go work in my vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. I'm not going. And you can't make me. You know, nah, 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 whatever. Now, how many of us, if we told our son to go work in the vineyard and he didn't go, how many of us would be happy about that? Well, it depends on the age as to what would have happened at my house. If my daddy told me to do something and I said no, I'd either be getting up from being knocked down, or I would have been got by the hair of the back of the head and told, this is where you're going to go do this, or the ear. But there would have been something that said, you're going to go do it. You don't say no to me. Don't you say no to me. But this son, evidently there was a relationship there. He later was guilty of heart. The Greek here is he was grieved by having not done as his daddy had said, and for smarting off, and he repented and went and worked in the vineyard. But the second son, he goes to him and says, go work in my vineyard. And this one says, yes, daddy, I'm going right away, daddy. I got it covered, daddy. I'm going, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he never even went. There wasn't a conviction in his heart. Well, then Pharisees are going, uh-oh. And then Jesus goes to zinging. And he said, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. Now, we don't know here if the Pharisees said the first or if the crowd said the first. Darn it, I wished I could have got something out of those, but it's not here. I can't get it here. I can't bring it here. I can't even fudge enough Greek to get it in here. It just says, and then they said the first one. Maybe they all chimed in. But he says the first one. And Jesus said, yeah, you got it. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said the first one. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you. Now Jesus' commentary on this. Truly I tell you, here comes the zing of zings. You need to understand how bad this zing is. There were two groups of people that was condemned, put down, literally assassinated of character. Kind of like our cancel culture business going on today. You know, it's, anyway, it was wrong then and it's wrong now. So there was two. One was tax collectors. Those people who were Jewish of birth, who had turned their back on their community. Sounds like the first son that said no, doesn't it? Who said, I'm not going to go by your rules. Sounds like the first son, right? These tax collectors went and they were actually turning their neighbors and friends and relatives in for tax money. These scribes and Pharisees had no use for these people. But guess who was sitting there listening to Jesus? Guess who was coming out to John the Baptist? One after another, line after line after line. And the second group was prostitutes, women. They couldn't stand it. Now Jesus has got them in the corner. And here it comes, the zingers. I just want you ready for the zingers. I don't want you to miss the zingers. Never miss a zinger when you got one around. Don't miss them. They're too good. I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. I bet those old boys are hot right about now. What do you think? I bet they are standing on their head. But I bet that other group of prostitutes and tax collectors and reprobates, I bet they're thinking, they've condemned us. They've judged us. They think they're better than us. They think they're above us. They're supposed to be the ones holding and having and teaching us the law. They're the one that should have been telling us the Messiah was coming. They should have been the one joining with John the Baptist saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But no, they didn't. They were the second son. They said they were, but they didn't. They said they could, but they didn't. They were all fake, all phony, liars without remorse, and only began to be convicted when it got inconvenient for them. These other folks knew they were sinners. They knew they were prostitutes. They knew they were tax collectors. They knew they were bad people and needed a Savior. But these other ones were so self-righteous, they didn't need it. The first son knew he did wrong, and he repented. The second one went on with his life. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. Now he answers the question that he asked them. And you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. We are living in a time when we, as Christians, have the message the world needs, has needed, and will need. But we have to be real, not fake. We can't be pseudo-Christians, Pharisaic. But neither can we wallow in the mire of mud. We have to act like someone who has experienced the living, resurrected God, who has repented of their sins, and now has chosen to walk with Jesus Christ out of the mud and mire of the world. The church today is failing at its call. It's endorsing the things of the world. Folks, I got news for you. Just because the lie keeps being told, don't turn it into the truth. Wrong don't become right just because a crowd believes it. Immorality doesn't become moral activity. I am so sick of watching people who are legalizing pedophilia in the world today and saying it's okay. There's something wrong with that, church. And what are we saying about it? Nothing. What's the response to it? Nothing. Quiet. Crickets. Finally, yesterday, we at least had people going up to pray for the nation, putting legs and feet to work. Church, we have got to get the message out by not only what we say, but what we do. Well, Pastor, who do I tell? Tell anybody that'll listen. I'll make you a wager. I'll make you all a wager. You got family members you could be working on. I do. I'll bet you this morning that you got a mission field that bears a name and semblance to yours. Church, we need to be about the work of witnessing. Well, Pastor, I can't witness down where I work. Why not? Why not? Have you ever thought, how many of you have been to a basketball game? And you've been up on the bleachers. And you got to go to the bathroom. Yeah, most of us have. How many of you are going down that bleacher thinking, oh my gosh, everybody in here is looking at me. And you're going down behind there and you feel eyeballs all on you. And you just know they know you've got to go pee. And they know you got to go to the bathroom. And they're all watching you. You're the center. They ain't nobody seen you. You ain't playing basketball. They're watching a basketball game. All they might do when you go by is duck and look around you. If you ask them 15 minutes later, did you see that man or woman go by? Uh-uh. What? Church, may we not be that kind of Christian in the world. May we be noticed for how we live, how we act, how we witness. You don't have to go in and say to them, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, you can go in and say, did you know that the love of God's amazing? This is how I've experienced. They cannot stop you from doing that. You can't read the scripture. You can't quote the verse. But you can tell them about your experience. Did you know they can't stop that? So far, we've still got the First Amendment. So far. But are we willing to take a chance? Are we willing to live it out? How many of you find it hard to live out? Me. It is, what? How many of you have buttons the devil knows where to push? You know, there's just some things that happen that I revert back. Anybody else? Anybody here don't have a button? How many of you swear you would never cuss no matter what? Because I've got a truck hitch. If you'll go walk into it, I'll bet you don't say nice things. Especially in the dark when nobody's around. And you might as well set them in front of thousands. You know, there's just things that push our buttons, right? You know, when somebody lies, and I know it's a lie, I struggle right that moment. Anybody else got that one? And then if I push it, to give them an opportunity to tell the truth, and they persist, uh-oh, things are happening. And I'm saying, God, please, I have to leave the spot or things are going to happen. Disrespect. How many of you enjoy disrespect? I can't even stand it when it's somebody else it's aimed at. We were eating in a restaurant yesterday in Laramie and please don't have good hearing. You should not have good hearing. And some training I've had let me sort it out. You need to understand, when you're talking out there in the mornings, I'm listening to you. I was listening to Alma and the girls over here. I was listening to you. I can't help it. They don't have off switches. I guess earmuffs or earplugs. But I was in, and this guy was berating his wife's mother. She was with them eating lunch, and he was talking about her like she was the sole of a shoe. It was all I could do to not go have prayer at that table. And his wife, her daughter, was bawling. I didn't. They left. Thank God they wasn't there much longer. Folks, when you have a button that the devil can push, bet he's reaching for it. Or the way we say it back in the South, he's going to smash it. He's not going to just push it. He's going to smash that puppy. That's a place that you need to pray about too. It isn't easy. But Philippians 4:13, I leave you with this in closing. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If you seek it, God will let you find it. If you knock, He'll open. You can do, and we can make a difference if we go with God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, we've looked at a story and a parable kind of all in one. And it reminds us that redemption and salvation is available to all, but all don't accept it. Father, it reminds us that no sin can not be covered by the sacrifice of Jesus. And Father, we pray today that on our watch, we can be living examples of Your love and grace and Your power in our lives. And Father, you're working with imperfect people. Let us realize that, but not use that as an excuse to not try, to not seek, to not follow. Father, I pray today that we are your witnesses of love and grace into our families, into our communities, and into the nation and worlds around us. And may our witness not just be of words, but may it be of actions that looks different from the rest of the world, that we're holding on to truth that is found in your word, that we're living it out among our friends, our families, our colleagues, and our community. Father, may the world look upon us and not see perfection in us, but see you at work in us, despite our imperfections. Father, people need to know that you take in the broken. Father, they need to know that your arms are open to the imperfect, that your love and grace is available, that you haven't given them condemnation only, but a way unto redemption and salvation. Father, remind us in our hearts and remind the world around us through us that your love and grace is but a prayer away, and that the gift of your Spirit is but a prayer away. A changed heart and a changed life is but a prayer away. Father, remind us and remind others today that healing and wholeness and help can come through you, through your power, through your grace. And Father, we see so much brokenness in the world, hatred and anger and violence. It's all tools of the devil, the enemy that wants to devour and divide and conquer. And Father, you call us together to sit at your feet. Father, may we be a light into a darkened world, not because of what we have done, but because of what you are doing. May we share in calling and practicing repentance and the message through belief. Hear our prayers offered in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. I pray that it is indeed well with our soul. Now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you, in you, and through you into the world around you. May you be the servant of Christ wherever you may find yourself, with patience, love, and grace. And now may you truly go. In the name of Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.